Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
Have you ever tried to figure out in advance how much a medical procedure will cost? Something as simple as an MRI or as complicated as major surgery. If you could, it would allow you to comparison shop. You could find a hospital or doctor that gives you the best deal and in the process help bring down the overall cost of medical care.
And actually, here in Massachusetts, there's already a law designed to do just that, in theory anyway. Since October, health insurers have been required to provide their members with estimates within 2 working days of how much a certain medical procedure costs. The quote is supposed to include how much you would pay out of pocket based on your deductibles and copayments.
The idea behind the new law is that a lack of transparency in pricing is one of the major drivers behind rising healthcare costs. Joining us now to talk more about this law that a lot of people don't know about is WBUR's healthcare reporter, Martha Biebinger. Hi, Martha. Good to have you in here.
Hi, Anthony. Nice to be here.
So tell us more about this law, what it's supposed to do, and how it works specifically.
Well, I think the bigger picture is that if we are all paying more attention to costs, then we will spend money more wisely, right? That's kind of a basic consumer economic theory. And it hasn't been in existence in healthcare because there's been a kind of dark curtain behind which somebody figures out what the prices are with each provider and each insurer. Now, if we can in advance know that an MRI costs a lot more at one facility than another, then we're at least making a choice. Maybe we're not always choosing the cheapest facility, but we're at least making a choice that may, in the end, reduce healthcare prices.
And so what does this law specifically do? It requires providers and insurance to essentially make this information available to us if we ask for it.
It has already taken effect for insurers. That was October 1st. The same requirement applies to providers, meaning hospitals and doctors, on January 1st.
Right. All right. So it sounds great in theory, as you suggested, comparison shopping, whether it's for TVs or an MRI or a knee replacement. If you can compare comparable services, we can make a smart decision around price and product. But it turns out that it can be a lot more complicated in practice than in theory. And you wrote about your own experience, right? Trying to figure out how to get treatment for you with a back problem. Tell us about that.
Well, I needed an x-ray. And as you know, with back problems, they often don't end with the first visit to the doctor. So I thought, well, if I need another one, why don't I ask and see if the price varies very much and if I should choose, because you think an x-ray is an x-ray, probably, right? And in getting the price for that x-ray, I found out that it was really complicated. Now, Secretary Anthony, who's sitting just down the table from me here, will tell you in just a second that some of the requirements for insurers have been revised since my experience. So this is very much an evolving situation. But what my insurer, Blue Cross, told me I needed was this whole litany of information and numbers. My provider's national ID number, the national ID number of the facility I was going to, the code or various codes that would identify the different types of x-rays that I might need. It was a list of about 6 things. And it was back and forth phone calls to try to get all of that information to make sure that it was right, both with me, my doctor, and my insurer. And in the end, it took about 4 or 5 days after going through all of that procedure to figure out that it was going to cost about $125 to go just to one place. So I didn't even try to comparison shop after that because I was worn out. So I think
so. The takeaway again is more complicated in reality than in theory to make this
work. It's really
hard.
The problem, Anthony, is that every provider is paid something different by each insurer. You add on to that what my health plan is within that insurance company, and then you add the individual circumstances for me. Do I have more money left on my deductible? Am I in a tiered plan? So I'm going to pay more at one facility or another. It really, it's complicated.
All right. Well, let me introduce Barbara Anthony. You made mention to Secretary Barbara Anthony. She's the Assistant Secretary of Consumer Affairs for Massachusetts. She's with us right now. And Barbara Anthony, welcome back to the program. Really good to have you.
Oh, great to be here, Anthony. Thanks for inviting me.
Also with us is Dr. Ronald Dunlap. He's president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. And welcome to you, Ron Dunlap. Really good to have you in.
Thank you.
Barbara Anthony, let me start with you. You know, you've called this law revolutionary. Tell us why you're so enthusiastic about it.
I'm very enthusiastic about this law because
First of all, it's kind of, I think ridiculous is the word that comes to mind, that we're actually talking about the pros and cons of whether consumers should know how much their health care costs. Mm-hmm. I mean, what other commodity or service do we ever debate whether or not a consumer should know the price of the item or the service before purchasing? You can't even name one. It isn't all that complicated. I mean, you can make something as complicated as you want, or you can make something more consumer-friendly. So why I'm excited about this is the following. Consumers will know two things from their insurance companies. Number one, the price that your insurance company is actually paying your provider, such as Dr. Dunlop, or it might be South Shore Hospital or Mass General Hospital, whatever it is, for your arthroscopic knee surgery, for example. Then very, very importantly, you will also know, depending on what your plan is, what your out-of-pocket costs will be, period. Mm. Now, I heard from a consumer recently. Let's just call him Frank from Worcester. And this is a guy with a $2,000 deductible. He told me he tries not to spend up to that $2,000. He recently had to have some kind of an X-ray or MRI, I think, that cost him $750. He said if he had known that he could have shopped around, he would have sought a lower cost because the guy doesn't have a lot of money. He does have health insurance, but he's trying to keep himself under that $2,000. So I'm excited about this. This is nothing short of a revolution. Mm. And you know, it's a revolution that has been a long time in coming, but there are leaders in this already. Aetna Health Plan, Aetna, which is a national insurance company, they have had their prices posted for their members' out-of-pocket costs since 2010. Last year, they had 1 million hits on their cost estimator. United Healthcare has it. Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare is coming up with theirs by the end of this month or the beginning of the year. So we're rolling along here, and it is something I'm excited about.
Well, let me ask you, though, because it really does, and hearing Martha describe what she went through, this seems like it really requires a sort of major cultural shift. That is, putting a real emphasis on the healthcare consumer to chase down these prices. But as we just heard from Martha, it's not straightforward.
No, first of all, we have changed that. And the Division of Insurance, which does oversee insurance carriers, my office, we recently put out a guidance to the industry. And what we have advised the industry, and let me say that they are willing to follow this. They were looking for it. They had a lot of questions. We want their tools to be very consumer friendly. You will no longer hear about consumers being sent door to door like, you know, poor vagrants in the street looking for medical codes in order to get estimates. The carrier can do one of two things. Number one, they can have a conversation with the consumer, get as much information as possible. If they need to follow up, they can call the provider and follow up. This can be done in conversations. An estimate can be forthcoming on that basis. If a carrier wants to do this according to codes, then the carrier gets some description, get the permission from the consumer, calls the provider itself, and gets the code from the provider. Consumer friendly. So hopefully what happened to Martha will not happen to anybody again.
All right, listeners, we want to get you involved in this conversation. You just heard Barbara Anthony there talking about this as being consumer friendly. Have you taken advantage of this new law? Have you tried to get the price in advance of a medical procedure? And if so, how did it work? And do you think the law is a good idea? Will it help bring health care costs down in Massachusetts? That's the major idea behind this. Of course, we have the highest health care costs in the nation. Is this going to bend that curve on the growth of health care? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Ron Dunlap from the Massachusetts Medical Society, let me bring you into this. This law requires doctors and healthcare providers to provide cost information to consumers by January 1st. In your view, is that realistic?
I don't think it's realistic. Even the Harvard Pilgrim, which is working with software called Castlight, which is beginning to try to develop a database of their cost, is not quite ready to go online. The problem is not so much that we couldn't quote the price for a procedure in a specific system. For the consumer to do this, you'd have to have something like a price.com for consumers so that they could look at a CAT scan, which I might order, and look at the three services in their community and decide which one of those they go to. We, in fact, are quite aware of the most expensive procedure. So when I know that a patient, first of all, is paying more and more out of pocket, we know where the most cost-effective MRI is in our area. On the other hand, there are times when you need immediate information urgently where you may use the hospital, which may be the most expensive place, because you can look at the results online and interpret them immediately. And almost in that situation, the consumer is more interested in the results than the cost. But I think the issue for us is not so much defining the cost for a specific system, but the fact that we may use multiple systems, and a lot of these costs are siloed in those systems. So my view, being an engineer, I would have to have software that had a database like a stock market ticker that could tell me the price of X, Y, or Z on a given day in order to really help the consumer find the lowest price.
Mm. I want to come to you, Barbara Anthony, on a point that Ron Dunlop just raised there, and that is how is healthcare consumers, patients, how do they compare the quality? They might be able to sort of say an MRI is an MRI, but aren't we also looking for the best results?
Well, that's a really good question. First of all, just so that everybody understands the way this would work, if you're a member of an insurance company, you go on the website, you will, for example, Aetna allows you to compare 10 different providers at mm-hmm. once, all right? It might be for arthroscopic surgery, it could be for rotator cuff surgery, for whatever it could be. The issue, and you'll see the different price that provider is paid by your insurance company plus your out-of-pocket. The issue of quality is one that we really do have to continue working on. Now, all of the insurance companies that I'm aware of, on their websites right now, they do have some quality indicators. The problem is that we're not uniform. We're not as complete as we want to be. But, for example, if you do go on to some of the existing websites, you will see, I think it's NQCA, the National Quality Association's quality indicators, such as readmission rates for a particular procedure, infection rates, mortality rates. It isn't that there's no quality indicia, the indicators. There are some. We'd like to see some competition in that area. We think there's a lot of room there. That obviously you're interested not just in price, but you are in talking. You're interested in quality. And Ron's absolutely right. You do talk to your physician, uh-huh. because physicians have a lot of information about the quality of various providers and the efficacy of various procedures. So, surveys show that consumers do trust their physicians for the most part in terms of helping to guide them. So physicians have a role in this as well, but we have a ways to go in terms of quality. Mm. And I think Martha will agree with that.
Martha, I wanted to come to you. I want to go to some listeners in just a moment. But Martha, quickly, give me your thoughts about whether this new law, patients will be able to compare the quality as well as the price of their care.
No. I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not discounting the things that Secretary Anthony just mentioned, but I have to go in for a colonoscopy on Friday this week. The quality measures don't even exist for colonoscopies. I mean, for most individual things that you need, you cannot compare hospital A to hospital B or doctor A to doctor B. You just can't.
Mm. Well, listeners, we're talking about a new law that allows you to find out how much your medical procedures will actually cost in advance of getting those procedures. And let's go to the phones right now. Steve is calling from Cambridge.
Anthony, I think this law might be well-intentioned, but it sounds like it will have no real effect. Unless patients themselves are paying a far greater share of their medical care, if it's being paid by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance, the patient has no real incentive to shop around, and even the physician has no real incentive to either lower costs, lower prices, or tell the patient he or she may not even need the procedure in the first place.
Okay, Steve, thanks so much for that. Barbara Anthony, did you get that question from Steve? I know you're just reaching for a cup of water here. I want to give you a second to do that.
Yeah,
but there's Steve talking about it's not going to make a difference unless there's a greater incentive on the patient's part to lower costs.
Well, first of all, you said it first, Anthony. You said this is a cultural change.
Mm-hmm.
We are embarking on a cultural change. And Steve's attitude is not unlike a lot of other people's, but I hope it's quickly fading away for a couple of reasons. First of all, the idea that we don't pay for our health care, that our insurance companies do, is just flat wrong. Every employer who might be listening to this right now is probably pulling his or her hair out from that statement. We're all paying in terms of higher insurance rates. Secondly, in the past several years, we have seen higher and higher deductible plans, co-insurance, higher co-payments. There are a lot of people who are paying much more out of pocket than ever before. But what we're trying to do here is it is a cultural shift.
Uh-huh.
It is nothing short of a revolution. But I'm going to say one other thing in connection with this. price and quality are only one part of what I call consumer healthcare consumer empowerment. We want to put the patient in the center of healthcare. That means demystifying the process, not being afraid to ask questions, talking candidly with your physician, making sure you get understandable answers, including answers about price and quality. And, you know, can I just, Martha's follow-up to the colonoscopy.
Sure.
I agree with you. You can't get every procedure. So what do we want consumers to do? Ask your doctor how many procedures he's performed. Ask him what his complication rate has been. Ask him what the infection rate has been in the facility you're going to have. We as consumers have to be much more assertive. My good friend Dolores Mitchell calls it pushy patients, and that's what we want. Pushy, pushy, pushy.
Well, I'd like to get Ron Dunlap's response to that, president of the Mass Medical Society.
Are you looking for
pushier patients? Is that going to make your job easier?
It's difficult. I usually tell the patient my experience. It was just 15 years full-time in academic practice, and then the last 20 years part-time doing that and part-time in practice. So I tell them what I've done, but I think there are still people who their medical IQ, so to speak, is so low that even if you carefully explain, they still don't get what you're talking about. Or there are sometimes credibility issues. When I'm at South Shore, my IQ is 50 points lower than it is at Beth Israel or Brigham when I drive 10 miles up the road. So that is just a perception that is part of public branding, so to speak, in medical facilities. So I think that most of us try to do this, especially if you do invasive procedures or things that are dangerous or that have high risk for complications that could be serious. You really do try to go out of your way to explain. But sometimes you simply can't overcome that. And that's one of the cost drivers, that people feel they have to go to the most expensive place for procedures that may not warrant that. But one of the conflicts with this pricing is the new move towards network alignment and ACOs, where you're trying to keep the patient within a network.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, one of the social workers who was a friend said she had to have an x-ray, and her husband works for one of the big hospitals in town. So she was used to have a practice in her neighborhood that was affiliated with them. Well, now there's none. So she would have had to go all the way to Waltham to have an MRI. So she chose to pay out of pocket to have an MRI in the community, because when she figured her time and her cost and so forth, it conflicted. So sometimes the ability to try to keep patients in a given system may conflict with the lower cost, or the actual convenience of using a facility may interfere with the patient seeking out what would be the most reasonable place for them to consume care.
I want to get a couple more callers into this conversation. Let's go to Paul, who's calling from Beverly. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Hello. I'd just like to share a very good experience I had shopping around. I just tuned in. I hope this is relevant. I recently arranged an MRI for my elderly mother, and I had one earlier in the year. And instead of just going to the hospital with a big name that I was referred to, I shopped around. And it turns out I found an excellent private facility. It was on the insurance company list, so I didn't have to pay anything here. I'm just shopping around to benefit everybody. It cost less than half the hospital price. That included in everything, including the MRI reading. My private physician was satisfied with the reading and the results. And we were treated extremely well, without the big hospital atmosphere. So again,
So a great example there of you steered yourself, Paul, away from a large hospital. You got the MRI at half the price. Barbara Anthony, this is exactly the kind of cultural shift you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. This gentleman is right on point. That's exactly the kind of thing that we should all be thinking about and doing. And you know, when you do it, don't be afraid to tell people about it, too, because this is how cultural norms change and shift. So this is a great infomercial right here from this caller.
Let's go to Missy, who's calling from Pelham, New Hampshire, maybe with a slightly different point of view. Missy, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I guess I'm thinking that cheaper isn't always better. I mean, I'm all for going in for a procedure, having, say, a mammogram that's cheaper at one location than another. But for me personally, if I happen to be a fundraiser for one of the larger hospitals in Boston, I understand how they work. If I got cancer, that's the place I would want to go. But my insurance company would want me to go to a local hospital, and I happen to live in New Hampshire, and the local hospitals aren't affiliated with that major hospital. And so what happens to me then? I want the best quality. I don't necessarily want the the cheapest, you know, because that's not always better.
Missy, I'm really glad you put this idea on the table. Ron Dunlop, I'd love you to respond to Missy. I mean, this seems like a really important issue because in this whole debate nationally, locally, about how to bring the price of health care down, we are sort of talking about this as if we can treat health care like a TV in a way, you know, like trying to shop for a TV, and it isn't.
It's not that simple. I think what you have to look at is the complexity of the disorder and the appropriateness of the resources and expertise in the area that your illness falls. So there was one year, probably 10 or 15 years ago, where all five people in our family happened to use a hospital, and we used five different institutions. But we used our local hospital for something, but we used Children's for something, we used the Brigham, we used, you know, Mount Auburn, but they were all for specific problems. But we are in the know. You know, we're physicians, and both of us work in healthcare. But ordinarily, I think you have to look at how complex it is. So I'm quite comfortable living in Boston knowing that if I have a dissecting aneurysm or some major problem, that I can go to one of the major hospitals and be treated. But if I need to have my gallbladder out, I don't need to go to the biggest brand name hospital in town to have that done. And that's part of our problem in containing costs. And that's what the healthcare plans are somewhat focused on. And the commission is focused on that we, because we have such good insurance, we tend to be cost insensitive and want to go to the brand name place when it's not appropriate.
Mm. And can I just jump in one thing?
Yeah, and Barbara, we literally have like 20 seconds left, so I'd love to give you a chance to make the last point here.
Well, your caller said, you know, the cheapest isn't always the best. She's absolutely right, but the most expensive is not always the best either. We have relatively pretty high quality across the board here in this state in terms of healthcare. The most expensive does not necessarily mean the best quality. And yeah, you do have to do some homework and talk to folks and figure that out, but that's a very, very important point to keep in mind.
All right, a new day and a cultural shift in the delivery of healthcare in Massachusetts and across the nation. Barbara Anthony, Assistant Secretary of Consumer Affairs for Massachusetts, thank you very much for coming in.
Welcome.
And Ronald Dunlap, President of the Massachusetts Medical Society. Dr. Dunlap, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
And Martha Biebinger, thank you as always for your great work here reporting on this complex subject at WBUR. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
Listeners, stay with us. A lot more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.